This is the Art Beauty Podcast, where we tell the real truth about the fake shit. We are unsponsored, unbranded, and quite frankly, unafraid to ask the questions about the products, the procedures, and all of that stuff that you really want to know. My name's Amber Milt, and today, my fabulous co-host is Dr. Samer Jabber. He is the man responsible for making sure that I stay wrinkle-free. He is a board-certified dermatologist and the owner of the very swanky Washington Square Dermatology. Dr. Jabber, thanks for being with me today.
Amber, it's my pleasure as always to see you. I feel very special and lucky to chat with you. Thank you.
Oh, well, you know, we talk about you a lot on this podcast. I give you a lot of props and you know, I actually saw you, what was it, like 2 weeks ago?
About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So I've had this, and I want to give right now a shout out to your team over there at Washington Square Dermatology because they're wonderful. I had an appointment to come in and see you for Botox right around the time that things started shutting down. And I at first kept like going on ZocDoc and refreshing and waiting for your schedules to open. And then you've got this awesome chat feature on your website. I went on, I chatted with them, they got me in. We had to push it back once or twice, but all is right with the world because I got to see you last week.
Thank you. Well, yeah, we try our best to, we have such nice patients and, you know, everyone in, I mean, now is a different time, obviously, but typically people are busy in New York, so we always try our best to accommodate them, especially right now. You just want to try to make people feel good if you can.
How are you holding up with everything?
I'm okay. I mean, honestly, the first 6 weeks of coronavirus when we were, you know, March and April were tough.
Yeah.
I was really struggling. I was grieving. I was sad. It was really tough for me. My in-laws both got coronavirus, so they're fortunately healthy now, but wow. Mother-in-law was sick, pretty sick actually. So it was just scary. I think there was a lot of uncertainty back then. And so,
I mean, yeah. And that's, you're also recently newly married.
Yeah. I've been married a year and a half now. So
it's, yeah. For those of us who've been married a long time, a year and a half is still like the newlyweds. I feel like till like the third year, that's when things, you know, maybe you're not a newlywed anymore, but it's so scary. I know your parents are in Florida, just like mine are. And right now they're like the epicenter.
Yeah. It's really a shame. And I think that the problem now is unfortunately science has become politicized. And I think
if people
in New York City, I think because they experienced it, I think everyone in New York knows of someone that passed away, maybe a coworker's family member. You know, fortunately, I don't have anyone that's, you know, immediately close to me that has, but I know people that have had family members die. And I think when you know of somebody, it changes your perspective. I think unfortunately in the rest of the country, they weren't exposed to it.
Yeah.
So they thought people were just, you know, making a big deal out of nothing. And I think unfortunately in the next month, they're going to, I hope not, but I think a lot of these places are going to experience similar things we experienced here. Fortunately, I think doctors know a lot better how to treat coronavirus now. Yeah, they were doing things differently before. They were giving people ventilators that, you know, didn't need to probably. So hopefully people will, you know, a lot more people will live to get sick, but it's really a shame. It's just really sad.
You know, this is such a weird disease too, because so much about it is unknown. I was at a doctor the other day because I have talked about it on the podcast. Both my husband and I had this in March, so months ago when this first started. And I have been having, I guess ever since it happened, I don't feel like I could take in a full breath. And it could just be that it's, you know, hot and 90 degrees. And last week, to be quite honest with everybody, I had, I think, my first ever real anxiety attack where there was a lot going on and I felt like I was having a heart attack. Yeah. And then I got even more nervous because I know that there have been some cases where people said long-term effects of COVID can be heart issues and lung issues. And long story longer, I'm fine. I went and had every test known to God. I could not be healthier, but the doctors that I went to and were visiting said, you know, we just don't know enough about this right now. So
I'm sorry to do that. I mean, I think it's also the anxiety, right? That uncertainty where maybe if this had happened to you prior to coronavirus, you would have been like, oh, I'm probably just anxious or I have a lot going on right now. But now you have that uncertainty. And so you also have that fear of, well, you know, you had it and you recovered quickly. You told me you weren't sick for that long, right?
It was 4 days. For me, I would have gone to work. If this was any other time in, you know, the history of my life, I would have said, oh, I don't feel great, but I could make it to work. I definitely had different feelings. I was, you know, it felt like a cold. It wasn't as bad as the flu for me. But then 4 days later, or 5 days later, we lost our sense of taste and smell. And that was weird. But yeah, luckily we had a very mild case of it. But yeah, you know, for anybody out there who's had it, if you're feeling anxious, I just want you to know, like, it's all normal.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. So I actually, during coronavirus, my office was closed for 10 weeks. I talked to a few of my patients that were psychiatrists and psychologists. And I posted my talks with them on my Instagram. And talk to them about just grieving and uncertainty. And they said that these are all normal human emotions. And it's normal to feel, just anxious and sad. There's just so much going on and there's so much we don't know. And we've lost so much. I mean, July 4th everyone loves July 4th. You know, you think about sun and beach and barbecues. I'm a dermatologist. I love the beach too. And everyone, you know, I was home, my wife, we didn't really do much. And it's kind of, we lost a lot. Like, this has been, the last few months has been really crappy.
I'm sorry. Well, you know.
Get better. I think things will get better. America is a wonderful country, despite all of our issues. And there's so many wonderful, smart people here, and we'll get better. But I think it's going to take some time still.
It will. And just to remind everybody, like, it's not just an American issue. This is going on around the world. So maybe in some weird way, like, you know, there's this sort of global energy that's going on. And when things get up and going, it's going to be like one heck of a great party. Yeah, like New Year's Eve times 1,000.
I think next summer people are going to be having a great summer.
Absolutely. You know, our topic for today, I love, because I come into you and I ask you about everything, right? And this has been going on for years. We've known each other. And I had a friend who was asking me about thread lifts. And we got talking about thread lifts. And you have actually done thread lifts on a person that we both know, who will remain nameless. And they looked fabulous. It was just, wow. When I came in, I said, you know, we need to do a podcast on this. You actually had some really interesting thoughts on thread lifts. We'll get to that in a second. But first, can you tell us, for people who might not know, what are thread lifts?
Sure. So thread lifts have been around for a while, but in America, they're relatively new. They've only been really used in America for the last year or two, but they have become much more popular. It really started more in Europe and in Asia. So they've been
where all the good stuff comes from, I feel like.
Exactly. And so they've been around in Europe and Asia for a long time. And it's really only recently that Americans have started using them. So there's thread lifts are basically what they use is a suture. So suture is what you would use when you do surgery, or if you cut yourself, or you have, you know, any type of surgery, heart, lung surgery, anything, you know, surgeons use sutures to bring things together. And there's different types of sutures. And one of the sutures is PDS. Polydiaxum, and that's been a suture. It's been around for probably about 30 years. And so thread lifts basically use that suture to either create collagen or to kind of lift the skin.
I want to stop 1 second to give you a visual. Essentially, if you could imagine a thin thread that had little itty bitty barbed wires, right? But it's made of some sort of a biodegradable plastic, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, basically, exactly. It's a biodegradable suture that degrades by itself in 4 to 6 months.
Right.
So, well, there's different types of threads, Amber. So there's there's three main types of threads that are used. The one you're talking about, and I think it's the one that probably is the most popular, or when people think of a thread lift, they're thinking about the barbed sutures. So barbed sutures are basically a piece of suture, and it's got these little barbs in there. And what they do is when they go in the skin, they kind of are deployed and they kind of attach the skin and kind of pull and lift the skin up. So that's the barbed suture. There's also smooth sutures, smooth threads. And those are used more to create collagen. So basically those are similar to regular surgical thread. And you place them in areas where you're trying to create and stimulate collagen. And then there's twisted threads. Those are kind of like smooth threads, but they're a little more twisted. And those are similar to the smooths, but they create collagen, but they also try to create a little volume. And those are popular around the nasolabial folds, so the deep folds around the mouth, marionette lines, and some people actually use them in the lips too. So there's three main types, but it's the barbed ones are, when people think of thread lifts, I think it's the barbs that are what people are really thinking about.
Which ones do you do in your office?
We do all of them, but to be frank, I'd probably say 90% of what we do are the barbed. I've tried the other ones, but barbed to me are what people want barbed threads because they want to lift that lower face and the neck. That's what they really want to do it for.
So now I grew up, my mother always, I mean, since she was literally my age and didn't need anything, would always look in the mirror and pull right up around this area and say, what do you think? What do you think? Essentially, that's what this procedure does, correct? You put these threads in, you thread them in, and then you can pull the skin up.
Exactly. So, you know, I think that everyone knows Botox and filler. And so Botox is great for lines. That's a nice forehead right there.
Yeah.
Botox is great for lines that occur with movement, right? So forehead or smile lines or grumpy lines. So that's what Botox is for. Filler is great to restore volume. So, you know, people really like to do fillers in the temples or cheeks where you've lost volume and you want to restore some of that volume. But the thread lifts are great to kind of help that sagginess that happens to all of us. You know, as we get older, we lose collagen and things kind of fall and sag. And so prior to thread lifts, there are some other options. You know, old therapy is something that is done a lot and is popular. And I love old therapy. I do it every year. But old therapy is different. It creates collagen, but it takes time. It takes months and it's not immediate. You know, facelifts are great. When patients are always worried about facelifts because they see the bad facelifts. But a good facelift in the right person is life-changing. Yeah. Not everyone wants to go under the knife and have, it's expensive, it's a couple weeks of downtime, it's legitimate. So I think thread lifts are kind of a nice in-between. And it's not for, if you need a facelift, thread lift's not going to work for you. So if you're over 65, you got a lot of sagginess, it's not going to do much. But thread lifts are great. My patients that do thread lifts are usually in their 30s and 40s, maybe early 50s. And they just hate that sagginess that you're describing. And they just want a little bit of a subtle lift. So,
and from what I understand too, thread lifts are a good option for people, again, who are really slim, when you don't want to add so much volume into the face to sort of smooth out these lines. You know, there's only so many places that you can add that filler into, that this is a nice option for people who might be like a little bit more slim. Is that correct?
I mean, I think you can do it if you're slim or if you're round your face, it doesn't make a difference. I think the problem is sometimes the advantage of threads over filler is you can definitely do filler to lift the skin too. Right. So if you do fillers, like particularly the thicker fillers that are more deep on the bone and on the lateral face, you're going to get a lift. But sometimes you can get kind of a chipmunk or fat face if you overfill. Mm-hmm. And so that's the nice thing about the thread lift is you can get a lift and you don't get that overfilled look. And so you'll see people sometimes that look just too filled and it just looks really bad.
And it's instant.
It's instant. Yes.
It's instant. Okay. So I'm going to save everybody. I have to warn you, if you go right now to YouTube and you Google the procedure, it is nasty looking. It is. I mean, essentially, do you want to walk us through what it would be to sort of lift the jowls?
Yeah, we play videos of it in our office and some people find it just like cringeworthy. They cannot watch it. They turn their heads away. It's pretty straightforward. So basically what you do is a patient comes in and you mark the skin. So first of all, you want to figure out where you're doing it. The most popular areas are to lift like the lower face and the neck. And so what you do is you kind of mark the location starting from the lateral to lower face, lateral to medial. And most common areas are going to be kind of this area, the marionette lines, the lower face. You'll kind of mark the areas. So you'll do not local anesthesia in the insertion points in the lateral face. And then you'll take a needle and you'll kind of prick a little hole in there. And then once you have a hole, you have a track, the thread comes on a cannula. So a smooth piece of metal. And you basically go in the lateral face advance it to where you want. You stop, you lock it, and you pull it out, and the thread stays. And then you're right. This long thread sticking out of your face.
That you can kind of like a puppet. I mean, yeah, pull and shape and maneuver to help lift the skin.
Yeah. So once the thread is in, you kind of pull the thread up to kind of help deploy those barbs that we talked about, so that can lock in and kind of create that lifting effect.
So I mean, I'm telling you, the person that I saw when they had it done, I saw them an hour later, and they were like, you know, it's not super comfortable, but you couldn't tell. They were going out to dinner, and the results were incredible because it was just subtle. There was something there, but it was like very, very subtle. But when I came into you and said, hey, Dr. Dabber, I had another person ask me about this. We got to do a podcast. You said something very interesting to me. And, you know, we keep it real here on this podcast, and it's why I really wanted you to come on. You said, I love thread lifts, but I don't find that I can get the same guaranteed repeatable results that I would with something like a Botox or a filler. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so I think I love thread lifts. And I think for the right patient, it's a great treatment. So if you're younger, so 30, 40s, early 50s, you can be a little older, but if you have a lot of laxity, it's not going to work. And you have to have realistic expectations.
Right.
You know, it's going to smooth things out. It's going to sharpen your jawline. It's going to lift your neck. But if you need a neck lift, it's not an alternative for you. The thing about thread lift, though, I think with Botox or filler, I think the results are super reproducible. I think with thread lifts, I think everyone gets better. I think some people do better than others, and it has to do with the skin and how heavy their skin is. And I think I think if you go online and look at how long people say it lasts, you know, people say it lasts 1 to 2 years. I think it probably lasts closer to 6 months to a year. You know, I think maybe 9 months. I just think that it doesn't last as long. For some people, I don't know. I think because what the threads go away by themselves in 4 to 6 months. So the threads are absorbed by your body. Now, while they're in there, they're creating collagen. And so theoretically, you're having a tract of collagen that's kind of lifting your skin. And so that collagen stays. So even when the threads are gone, that collagen stays. So I do think that there is an effect after the threads are gone in 6 months, but I don't think it lasts 2 years. And I think that's an important thing to know.
So going back to the process of this, I want to give people who are not watching this right now, who might just be listening. I mean, essentially the visual is you're taking a needle, you're sticking it in, let's say at the temple, you are threading it underneath the skin to, you know, let's say your nasolabial fold-ish area, depositing that barbed, quote unquote, barbed suture wire, and then pulling it back out and then kind of pulling with that. And how many of those would you do in order to get a lift? Ballpark.
Yeah. So usually you'll need probably 3 to 5 per side. So you'll need a few.
So you're like tiger striping the inside of your face with essentially barbed suture wire.
Yeah. That's basically what you're doing. It's a smooth cannula. Cannulas are also used in filler. Mm-hmm. Filler injection. So it's basically this smooth, thin needle, like you said, that's blunt. You put it in and you pull it out. And, you know, from a perspective of tolerability, it's quite well tolerable. It is painful. You know, it can definitely be a little bit painful, and you definitely feel some tightness. So I've had it done too. I try to do everything that all the procedures in my office I've done too, because I'm vain as well. So I have a very low pain tolerance. So I found it quite painful, but most of my patients with normal pain tolerances, like my female patients, are fine.
Yeah.
Men are a little wussier, and we all know that. That's definitely true. So afterwards you feel a little bit of discomfort, some tightness. I couldn't really open my mouth big for a few days. So I struggled to eat like steak. You couldn't eat steak afterwards.
Well, and also I would think, because I'm a back sleeper, but also side, like that just to me seems like it would be hurt to have your face touched.
Yeah.
Immediately after.
I think you do feel some discomfort. You can when you sleep on your side sometimes.
Right. Particularly
if you hit a nerve sometimes, because you're kind of blindly going. And so That's why threader airlifts is very important to go to someone that knows their anatomy. You know, this is extremely important because if you can hit something, it's not good. You know, if you hit a parotid gland, parotid duct, if you hit a nerve, and it's all these things are possible because you can't see what you're doing. You know, you have to kind of know your anatomy. So I think for this, I think for all procedures, you need to be extra careful, but for this one in particular, you can see a dermatologist or plastic surgeon. I wouldn't trust your mom's best friend's aunt that does a little Botox or peels at home. Not for this.
Yeah.
Because so, they're also hard to remove too.
I'm glad you said that. You know what? So now that we've talked about who it's good for and a little bit about, you know, you've admitted that you really like it, and with the right candidate, you see phenomenal results, which I can attest to. I've seen that. Let's talk about some of the things that can go wrong when you do these. What are some of the risks?
So the threads themselves can cause, you can have some inflammation associated with the threads. That's quite rare because of that. The suture of polydioxone is not one that the body reacts to. But the same thing can happen in filler too, where your body will develop almost an immune response to the thread and you'll have inflammation. So that can definitely happen. If you hit a nerve, you can definitely feel nerve pain and that will go away, yeah. But that can last for several weeks. You can definitely have some swelling. That can definitely happen. If you hit the parotid gland or parotid duct, which is an important duct here, you can have some pain with eating, and you can definitely have some swelling and discomfort, and that can last for several weeks too. So those are really the main things. And again, the problem with the threads is they're not easy to remove because they're kind of in there. So to remove them, you have to kind of make an incision and kind of go in and try to pull it out. It's possible, but it's not something that you want to do.
So what about rippling? I've heard that that's another, you know, it can happen.
Yeah. So if your skin is too thin, that's a really good point. So I think that's another point about patient selection. Mm-hmm. So if you have someone that's really fair skinned with really light skin and really just fair and just thin skin, like you can imagine like an older woman that's Northern European white in her 60s, her skin is very thin. And so if you go too superficial, you can actually see the threads.
Right.
And you can also have some rippling where there's bumps in the threads if you go too superficially. And if your skin is really fine. So that can definitely happen as well.
If that happened to somebody, is that fixable, that rippling?
So it can get better over the course of a couple of weeks. You know, it can soften by itself. Sometimes it doesn't. You'll have to remove the thread, or sometimes you can have to inject filler around it to try to make it more smooth. But it definitely can happen.
Okay. But this is something that you still offer in your practice and that you find success with.
Yeah. My patients really like it. The ones that do it, I've had amazing results. I had a patient of mine that, lives in South America, was in town and was going to her daughter's wedding in 2 weeks. And she looked amazing. I mean, her results were unbelievable. She gave me a huge hug afterwards. And she said all her friends were asking her what she did because she just looked great. And there's really nothing else that we create that tight jawline and lift that neck in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I think for those patients, it's great. I just think some people have unrealistic expectations with thread lifts. And so I think the patients I find some of my patients that come in are patients that are older, that are really more facelift candidates. Mm-hmm. Want to avoid a facelift or want to avoid a neck lift. They've heard of this and say, oh, I don't want to do a facelift or a neck lift. Will this work for me? And for those patients, I tell them, unfortunately, we can try it, but you have to be realistic and you probably aren't going to get that great results.
So let's talk about cost. We know things can vary from place to place, but can you give us ballpark for what this costs?
It's typically around $1,500.
Okay.
You know, it can be more. Some people, it can go up to probably $2,500, depending on the number of threads that are performed.
So it's per area, not $1,500 per thread.
I personally charge $1,500 to do it, and I don't charge extra for threads unless I'm doing a ton.
Right.
But there are doctors that charge per threads. So it really depends on how they do it. And it depends on the area of the country. You know, I think, and it depends on who's doing it. I've heard of doctors charging $2,500 to $3,000 for this. So I think it's probably between $1,500 to $2,500.
Okay. And something like an Althera, on the other hand, to do, you know, a face is significantly more expensive.
Yeah, Altherapy is more expensive.
Right.
The disposables for Altherapy are a lot more.
Right.
So when you're actually performing the Altherapy treatment, there's a charge per actual zap or line that you're doing. And then the machine itself is, you know, $70,000, $80,000 or whatever, $100,000, whatever it costs. And so then the advantage of Threadlifts, that's why a lot of doctors like Threadlifts too, you don't have to spend the money on a laser. And lasers, right. You have to pay annual service costs with lasers, you know, that cost tens of thousands of dollars too. So the advantage of this is for doctors, it is easier in that respect, cost-wise.
So aside from having to make sure that we go to somebody who is either like a board-certified dermatologist or plastic surgeon who we know has done, you know, even with the best plastic surgeon, you don't want to be there first. Right. Is there anything else that we need to know if we're considering this?
I think you just have to have realistic results, realistic expectations with your results. If you're, like, as I said, if you're 30s, 40s, 50s, and you have mild laxity, then I think you're a good patient for this.
Right.
If you're looking for something that's going to last for 2 years, probably not the right treatment for you. But if you're looking for something that will last 6 months to a year, I think this is a great option for you. And although it can be painless, I think you have to know that to experience some discomfort during the procedure and have some discomfort afterwards. As I said, for me, I felt a lot of pain in my jawline area. There must have been a nerve that was hit for this one, the lower thread on my jawline to help lift my neck. And I felt pain for a couple of weeks every time I shaved in this area. It wasn't terrible, but right, it was something I felt. And I think, you know, I had Threadlifts done as my friend trained on me actually for it. So I didn't really have any much experience. So I was a little nervous about it, but it did go away. So if it happens to a patient of mine, I tell them it goes away because I've seen it. It can happen and it goes away.
And well, you made a good point. Yeah.
Oh, and the last thing I was just going to say is, you know, it might be hard for you to open your mouth. I wouldn't plan like an important presentation right before, you know, so I give yourself like 3 days, 5 days, a week before an event. Like don't do it right before an event.
And just like any other procedure that you're doing when you're going to have a puncture, you don't want to have your red wine. You don't want to be taking vitamin E, nothing that's going to make you bleed, right? Because you'll bruise a little bit more easily.
Yeah. Just like any procedure that you do, any type of cosmetic procedure where there's going to be an incision done, you want to avoid things that can increase bleeding and bruising. So things like alcohol, vitamin E, ibuprofen, all those things can make you bleed more, particularly an aspirin.
NSAIDs, no way.
Yeah, alcohol, but NSAIDs make a difference, but alcohol for me is the thing. I mean, I can always tell when someone's been drinking. I mean, they just ooze like crazy.
I know, I've learned my lesson, but you have to admit, the last time I came in, no bruising, no nothing. I had no bruising, no nothing, but I also didn't drink for a week prior.
Yeah, it's alcohol. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had one of my filler patients today. The last time I did filler on her, she bruised and she had been drinking. Today, no alcohol. She wasn't bruised at all. She was left and was fine. So NSAIDs, vitamin E, definitely, but alcohol is the biggest thing. I tell everyone for a week.
For a week, before and after?
Well, before more. After, not as much, honestly.
Right.
At least, I say a week. I mean, some people will say 3 days, but I think if you really, everyone can not drink for a week. It's not the end of the world.
Amen. Seriously. And guess what? You know, on that note, to end on a happy note, it's not the end of the world here too. Thank you for sharing everything about your experience with coronavirus. I mean, I can't believe that months later we're still talking about this, but it's the world we live in. And I really appreciate you sharing your thought, you know, being honest with us.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Amber, to chat with you and see your smiley face. And yeah, and I thank you so much for having me. I feel very special.
Oh, you are super special. So Dr. Jabber, I mean, of course, everybody can reach out to me because I send everybody to you. If people want to know more about Threadlifts, if they want to reach out to you, if they want to come see you, what's the best way to find you?
The best way is to look online. You can look at our website, Washington Square Dermatology. You can go on our Instagram, Washington Square Derm. Our Instagram is a ton of before and after pictures. Mm-hmm. So I think honestly, that would be the nice place to start. And then if you have questions, you can always call our office, or if you go on our website, you can book through our online Clara Messenger.
By the way, just a little aside, that video that you run in your office, so he runs this video with all of these procedures, the befores, the after. I mean, I live for that video every time I go in. It's just this running loop of like, wow, wow, wow. You should put that up online. Thank you again. Of course, everybody, if you have any questions, I can speak to you about Dr. Deborah. You can always reach out. Hello at Art Beauty Podcast. And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Art Beauty Podcast. And as always, we will see you next Tuesday.